Christ is risen.
By virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word,
announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of thy Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I am the Good Shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God,
and a great King above all gods.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the second chapter. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep,
but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Words of our Lord from John chapter 10. I'll read a couple of verses again. Jesus said, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief came only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is our text. The main point that we should grab on this Sunday is that we're all sheep. Every single one of us is a sheep. I'm often reminded that on this Sunday, usually if I have a child who's around 2 years old, whenever they hear the word sheep, they simply begin to baa. They want to be a sheep as well. They're listening to the service. And isn't it the truth that we are sheep? I don't know about you, but I think there's something really sweet and peaceful about the image of a flock of sheep grazing on a hillside. Just a quiet flock in peace. How beautiful. But of course, being called sheep also can be less than flattering. Sheep have a reputation. They aren't known for their brains. They aren't known for their beauty. They aren't known for their brawn. They are known to stray and become lost. And they're also known as easy prey for predators and thieves, sometimes called lamb chops. So it's not necessarily a flattering thing. In the face of danger, what do sheep do? Some have horns, I guess, but they don't have sharp claws. They don't have menacing teeth. They don't have poisonous venom. They don't have a crafty camouflage. In the face of danger, what do? They baa, and they baa some more. So what is it about sheep that sets them apart? What is it about sheep that makes Jesus find this such a fitting image to use for us? I think it's this, that they cannot survive on their own. They require care and protection. They need a shepherd to tend and lead them. I think this is the significant thing about sheep, and Jesus knows this. If you think about the Gospel of John, where this text comes from, as Jesus carries out his ministry, he sees people as sheep in desperate need of a good shepherd. In the season of Lent, we heard about the Samaritan woman at the well, the woman who had had five husbands, the man whom she was with at present was not her husband. When Jesus met her, he saw a sheep in need of a shepherd. The 5,000, when Jesus fed them with five barley loaves and 2 fish on a hillside, it was because he saw that they were sheep in need of a shepherd. When his disciples got into a boat to cross the sea and ran into a storm and he came to them on the water, it was because he knew that they were sheep who needed a shepherd. And the man born blind, whom we also read about in the season of Lent, the man who, as he confessed Jesus more and more clearly, ended up being ostracized and kicked out of the synagogue, when Jesus meets him at the end, it's because he knows that he is a sheep who needs a shepherd. So we might ask, why does Jesus meet us here today? Why does he come and gather with us through his word and his sacrament? It is because he sees that we are sheep in need of a shepherd. And he wants us to be safe. He wants us to be fed. He wants us to be his forever. So that's why Jesus speaks about the sheepfold, about the door or the gate, and about the shepherd. It's also why he warns about thieves and robbers, because he knows that not everyone has the best interest of the sheep in mind. There are some, many perhaps, who care nothing about the sheep. They only care about what? About getting fat and happy at the expense of the sheep. They only care about their own profit, their own welfare, their own selves. Jesus cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for his sheep, even over and above his own body and life. We didn't hear this verse today, but he goes on to say in John 11 that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does not count his life of more value than that of the sheep, but rather he counts the life of the sheep as of more value than his own. And so he lays down his own life. A couple of questions that came to my mind as I was reading the passage this week. Questions for diagnosis and analysis of our own lives. When we think of the sheepfold, we can ask, whose sheepfold are you in? Which flock do you belong to? Where is it that you go to find refuge and peace? A sheepfold back in Jesus' day was most often an enclosure made with stone walls or perhaps against a stone outcropping. It might have been attached to a house or located in open country. And there was only one gate, one doorway into the sheepfold so that the sheep were protected. They had to go in and out by that one place. We can ask this question as well. What door do you use? Jesus speaks about himself as the door, as the gate by which we have entrance into the sheepfold, by which we have entrance into the life that never ends. What door are we looking for? Are we going through? And most of all, we can ask, who is my shepherd? Of course, we're here because we believe that Jesus is our shepherd. But it's worth listening to how Jesus identifies his sheep. He says, this is how we know who the sheep are. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So what is it that makes sheep the sheep that belong to Jesus? It's that they hear his voice. And hearing his voice, they follow him. I think it's important for us to take notice of this. And I couldn't help but realize as I looked at that word follow that we have that word all over the place in our world today. I'd ask for a show of hands as to how many are on Facebook, but I don't need to do that. I know many of you are. What do you do when you're on Facebook? You follow people and you follow things. It literally says on there, follower or following. It's the same thing, I think, with Instagram and with TikTok and with all sorts of social media and with podcasts. And then there are the shows we follow and the sports teams we follow and the writers we follow and the movements we follow and the political parties we follow. And it just goes on and on. So I would ask, whom do you follow? Because Jesus wants us to follow him and him alone. Amen. And there's no button for us to push, to click, to say we're following Jesus. Well, there probably is, but I don't think it counts for a whole lot. So how do we follow Jesus? It's by hearing his voice. What does this look like? This looks like listening to his word, reading and hearing his word, digesting and taking it into ourselves. So what is it that you listen to? What is the first voice that you hear in the morning when you wake up? And I mean literally the first voice. Maybe your spouse or a family member. Maybe you turn on the radio or the TV. Which voice do you hear first in the morning? Which one do you hear last in the evening? Who or what is feeding your soul? And I ask this not only for your sake, but for mine as well. What are the things that we're taking in? What are the things that we're imbibing and hearing and listening to? Where do we get the things that we believe and the way that we think and speak and the way that we live? Because we're getting it from somewhere. And if it's not coming from Jesus, then it's coming from someone or somewhere else. We need to beware of the voices that we're listening to. And we need to let his voice be be the prime one that we hear, the chief one that is guiding our life. I'm concerned about these things, as I said, for myself and for my children and for all of you. And I'm struck as well by, in our day and age, how often it seems like Christians, even Christians, are what we might call pick-and-choose Christians or cafeteria Christians. There are certain things we like that the scriptures say, and we hold to those, and we follow those, and we believe in those, but there are other things perhaps we like less, that we don't want to hear, that we don't want to listen to, that we don't want to conform our life to. Jesus doesn't say the sheep are those who sometimes hear the voice of the shepherd, or the sheep are those who follow the good shepherd when they so desire, but the sheep are those who hear his voice and follow him. And I know that's why you're here, but I want to encourage you to be not only following his voice and listening to him on Sunday morning when we gather for an hour, but to let his voice filter into your life and lead and guide you each and every day. Because we either follow him or we follow someone or something else. What has Jesus done to earn our allegiance to him? What has he done that we should follow him? What has he done to make it so that whether we like what he says or not, we will go where he leads? Jesus has done this. He himself became a sheep, and he himself offered his own body into death for you and me. St. Peter says it like this: he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. And so we entrust ourselves to him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, Peter says, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Dear friends, your good shepherd has laid down his life for you. His body was wounded, bleeding, dying to save and rescue you. He is the shepherd who lay down in the gate of the sheepfold so that nothing could enter without going through him and past him. He said, to your sins, to death and to the devil, you'll get these sheep over my dead body. And of course, they killed him. And they thought they could get the sheep, didn't they? The sheep were scattered, and they were scared, and they were frightened. But you know, on the third day, the shepherd came to life again. He took up his life. He did not leave the sheep abandoned. The wolf couldn't look and say, I've got the shepherd, now I can get all the sheep. Instead, the shepherd stood on his feet and said, you won't get a single one of them. They belong to me. I have called you by name. You are mine, says the shepherd. He has claimed you as his own. Whether you've been following on the straight and narrow or whether you've been wandering, he pulls you back in. He says, you belong to me. You are my sheep. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And the warning is that we are not to harden our hearts to him. We are not to stuff our ears against his word, but rather to daily attend to his voice, to let our shepherd lead and guide us. I mean, what is it that sheep need more than to listen to the shepherd? Is there anything that is more important and more valuable for their life? I know that we have lots of things in life. We have lots of concerns, lots of needs, lots of things to attend to each and every week. But Jesus would have us know there is nothing more central to who we are. There is nothing that we need more deeply than simply to pause and listen to his voice, to follow him, to go through the door that is Christ, the door that leads not to death, but rather through death into the life that never ends. Jesus said in John 5, An hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He says there is a time when the sheep who have died will hear the Good Shepherd who rose to life, and their bodies will rise from the dead as well. As a picture of that, he called Lazarus forth from the grave. Our Lord invites you to rest in his word, to pasture in the food that he provides, to trust in him and in his salvation and in his promises and in his guiding and leading. So often we want to know where to go and what to do. Jesus simply says, "Follow me." It may not give a very clear direction for that moment, but it tells us whose voice we are to listen to, whom we are to follow. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. He is the gate of the Lord through whom the righteous enter. He is the one who laid down his life for us, that we may be his now and forever. And what our Lord desires most for us is that beautiful image of sheep grazing on a hillside in good pasture, in quietness, without worry and fear. That is what he has for us. A little foretaste of it as we gather here on Sundays, but the promise of that in full on the last day when he comes again in glory. We will be those sheep. He says every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow and no more mourning, and we will feed on good pasture beside the quiet waters. And now the life of the sheep is this, as we wait for that day. Like the Christians in the book of Acts, we follow the teaching of the apostles. We have fellowship with one another and Christ. We attend to the prayers, especially the Lord's Prayer and the liturgy, and we receive the breaking of the bread as the shepherd feeds us with his own body and blood. Dear brothers and sisters, you are his sheep. You belong to him. Listen to his voice, for he speaks forgiveness, life, and salvation to you, and he will lead you in a way that never ends. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I invite forward Andrew Bergeron, his daughter Madison, who was baptized not long ago, is with him as well. And Melinda. Melinda is already a member of the congregation, so we rejoice with her, with Andrew, and his coming into our congregation today. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Andrew, you have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith, according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God?
I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know it from the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Andrew, we rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may kneel. Andrew, Stephen, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
The congregation will please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing Andrew to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling him with both the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that, bringing forth the fruits of faith, he may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For steadfast faith to hear the voice of our great shepherd, that passing through the valley of the shadow of death, we may receive our portion in his abundant life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the work of the Holy Spirit by the means of grace, that daily the number of believers who are being saved may increase, and God's people may proclaim his truth with all boldness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who would govern the people of the church, that they would be held accountable and honor the purpose of the Good Shepherd as they protect his people and serve the cause of justice and liberty, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our seminaries, for the students who have been assigned to vicarages and received calls, especially for Patrick and Jeffrey, for their families and for the congregations they will serve, that the Lord would provide workers for the harvest field, and by his word, add daily to his church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the bereaved, the homeless, the wounded, and the hungry in Sudan, and for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in South Sudan and Sudan, her members and pastors, and her ministry to those in need, that peace would prevail, those in need receive care, and the lost be called by the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Paul Welmer and Jamie Minez, as they approach their wedding day, and for all husbands and wives, that our Christian marriages would witness to the world of the union of Christ and his bride, the church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, Abby, and Emma, that they be kept safe through pregnancy, labor, delivery, and postpartum. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer in body or mind, for the unemployed, for the grieving, and for those near death, especially for the Purinton and Emmerich families, Lori, Michelle, John, Lorinda, May Rose, Martha, Rick and Teresa, Shannon, Teddy, Tony, Verity, Diane, Amara, Marilyn, Al, Ann, Cynthia, Vivian, Bruce, and John, that the wounds of our shepherd would give them healing and his voice give certainty in every sorrow and difficulty. Let us pray to the Lord. For unity in the one true faith, as God's people devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all baptized Christians, that we whose sins have been crucified in Christ's body on the tree would bring forth the fruit of holy lives by his continual grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This morning is Jeremiah, starting chapter 31, starting at the 10th verse. "He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, over the wine, over the oil, over the young flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Then shall the young woman rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning to joy. I will comfort them. I will give them gladness for sorrow. I will feast the soul of priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock."
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.